Hear what I'm telling you, because the enemy will always offer a different way other than the cross way. Your faith begins and ends at the cross. You don't hear nothing else I say. You need to take that down. Your faith begins and ends at the cross.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a brand new sermon series. This is Why Your Faith Needs the Cross, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
There's going to be things he's going to deal with my life that sanctifies me. But here's sanctification. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Now stand up. Now you've been born again, but that doesn't mean that you've been sanctified, because there's still the old Caleb that's in there. But if you'll start walking towards me, you're walking away from where you used to be, and you're walking closer towards where Christ wants you to be. And the more you get away from that, the closer you get to the Lord. That's sanctification right there. Let me give you this consideration from this past weekend. The Exodus, of which they've just discovered just a few days ago, another confirming fact in the Sinai of the Exodus of the Hebrew people, with Moses leading them out. But we're in such a skeptic society today that, anyway, that's another message. So what happened? They're in Egypt for 400 years, and it gets to the point where they say, we must have a deliverer. And the Bible says that God heard them, their cries, because of the taskmasters. Those Egyptian taskmasters that were beating them to death, starving them to death. Listen, we stood under the Western Wall where the Hebrews were sliding those walls into place as slaves, okay? And one of those stones, stand up, Ukiah, one of those stones went from this point right here, just stay right there, went from that point right, one stone. Stand up, John. One stone. Thank you, thank you. What's the point? The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that they were under such oppression, such bondage. Now, how does that calculate? Calculates today, you're not dragging stones around, you're not getting beaten, you're not having to make bricks without straw. But there's the torments of the mind that's going on for people in this building right here. There's the torment of your son, your daughter, your grandchild that's running astray. Come on, somebody. There's the situations that are going on and the oppression of the enemy, and the more you pray, the darker it seems to get, and you're wondering, Lord, is this really working? I came to tell you, you got to keep your faith right there and don't give the devil any place of movement whatsoever. Why, Pastor? Because you're going to find that the purposes of God have been there all along. If I leave it, I won't find the end of this thing. I'll just be wandering in the wilderness. So what happened with the Egyptians? He sanctified them in the wilderness. He saved them and he brought them out of Egypt. And then they walked in the wilderness, walking away from the stuff that they used to eat, physically eat. They got out there at one point and said, you brought us out here to die. We want to go back and eat the leeks and the onions and the garlic and all that kind of stuff. We want those rich food, because their physical system, the Old Testament physical, reveals a New Testament spiritual. So they wanted to go back with their physical systems and be unsanctified, and said, we would rather live under the heavy hand and drag these gigantic stones than to be out here in the wilderness without a 7-Eleven. I'd rather live out in the world. You know, before I got saved, I didn't have trouble like this. I'd like to bring that to you in the Greek and the Hebrew wording all at the same time. Duh. You belong to the devil. You were in your sins and transgressions and you were on your way to hell, but God sent a deliverer. And it's better to live in the wilderness with God than to eat the leeks and the onions with the garlic and the Egyptians back there underneath the oppression of the devil. Y'all still with me here today? I'm about to close. A person can be lost in many ways. Can be lost in many ways. But you can only be saved one way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way. So to be saved by the blood may be humbling to the heart. But it's the only way to get there. Are you with me? What does this preference for a crossless Christ mean? It presents the pattern of life to us. To have Christ, you must have his cross. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to have Christ, you got to have his cross. I'm going to try that on again. To have Christ, you got to have his cross. To have his cross, you get Christ. Take up your cross and follow. Too many want Christ without the cross. And our own conscience is unwilling to pay the price of a thoroughly saved life. Because there's still too much flesh that we enjoy in our little pet things. And the Lord says, drop that aside. I got something better for you. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could turn that loose. What am I doing when I do that? I'm placing my faith, and I only have one. I'll have to come back to this next week. I only have one faith. I only have one faith. And the question is, what am I going to do with it? It's an awesome thing for you to choose. Let me put this on you before we get out of here tonight. Your faith is an awesome thing. God gave it to you. It's a gift. Everybody in this building has the gift of faith. So in other words, God's not requiring something of you that he didn't place in your life to start with. He's not asking you for something you don't have because he knows he gave it to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Am I going to take my faith and put it in Christ and him crucified? Or am I going to put it in whatever it is that my flesh, my education, my whatever? Nothing wrong with the enjoyment of life, but hear me. This is what John and Charles Wesley's mother said when they asked the two boys, which the Wesleys, that's the beginning of the Methodist Church. A lot of the old church hymns came from those guys. They asked their mother, "Mother, what is sin?" And she said, "Anything that gets between you and God." Definition over. Now think about that. What is it that's standing between you and God tonight? That would give, what is the devil going to offer to you? The devil will offer to you a easy, greasy other way. You don't have to go over here, Judas. There's another way. There's another way. You can usher in the kingdom and make a little money off of selling Jesus. Shing-shing. Are you hearing me? This is not an easy road. Anybody that tells you Christianity is an easy road? Because nobody's looking. Go ahead. You don't have to be true. the devil says. Go ahead. One time won't matter. One time won't matter. Are you willing to risk your eternal soul on something other than Christ and Him crucified? I'm just going to tell you, I'm old enough and have been raised in this thing long enough. My sister and I, and many of you that are in this building, I mean, if the preachers of the past would mount that pulpit today and preach the way they did in the past, your britches would be on fire right now. And I know we can throw that out and say, well, that was back then, but I do remember the healing power of God flowing through tent meetings. I do recall the thousands of people weeping their way to salvation. Boy, I feel the glory of God in here. You get your eyes off of anything and everything that's going to divert you from this. And you sink yourself and your faith, one faith that you have, the one faith you have. You don't have but one. You have one life, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. You get to spend it where you want to. Faith is like money. It's like currency. It has to be used in order for it to be effective. And what is the one thing that God requires of all of us? He said, I've given you faith. Now, if you're going to please me, you must have faith and believe who I am and what I said I am. I feel somebody in this building getting a step closer to the Lord in your faith tonight in the middle, while right now the struggle to keep your mind on what I'm talking about, because the battle is raging. God is stepping into the very corridors of your mind right now and taking authority, lordship over every thought to the obedience of Christ. My faith requires the cross. And I say, because I know Jesus Christ is listening from the seated right hand of the throne of God right now, thank you, Jesus, for not coming down when all the religious leaders were pounding you and the people around you were mocking you and your disciples left you and the only one around the foot of the cross was your weeping, crying mother and John, and a woman who you cast seven devils out of cared enough to look up at the bleeding, emaciated. Why was Jesus so unrecognizable? Why was he beaten? God, why did he look on the cross hanging there like a piece of meat, naked before the world? His entrails were falling out, the Bible says. He was beaten unrecognizably. Why? Because, my friends, that was our sin upon the innocent lamb. That's what sin does. It rips to shred, leaves broken and bruised, and beats you right down to nothing left. And Jesus took it all.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.